Good morning. That's not bad. You're here. It's a beautiful day outside. We're going to have fun out today. But it's great to be here together. It's great to come together to talk again about how we can bless our neighbors. As God has blessed up us, how do we bless our neighbors? And how do we take the blessing of the gospel and spread it around to the people around us, whether they're our neighbors, our friends, the people that we know in various places, co-workers, relatives. We want to be able to influence them toward Jesus and find different ways to do that. So we're talking through this BLESS acronym over these few Sundays here, and we started with the top one was what? What is the B? Begin with prayer. And that's not just something we begin with, but we continue in prayer. This is a work of God. And so we pray for the people that God has put around you, that they might come to know Jesus in a personal way. There are several colored papers on the board over here, and these are just first names of some of our neighbors, some of our friends, some of our relatives that we're praying for Jesus to come and meet with them. And so we want to pause just right now and just let's just pray, lift up these names. And again, I just ask you to just join me in your spirit in praying to the Father and asking Him to be at work in the circles of influence around us. Father, we lift up the names that are written on this wall, our relatives, our co-workers, our neighbors, our classmates. And Father, I think of a couple of my neighbors that I'm praying for. We just lift them up to you and ask, Lord, that you give us opportunity to be able to show them what Jesus is like and talk to them about our relationship with Jesus. Lord, we long for them to give their life to Jesus and join us here at Antioch as new believers, new members of your family. But we also acknowledge that our longing for that pales. You long for them. It is your will that all people would come to the knowledge of your Son. And so, Lord, I pray that you'd work your will in their lives, work your will through us to shine the gospel to the world around us who so desperately needs you. Help us to think more like you. Help our will to become more what your will is as we seek to influence our neighbors for Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. I just want to encourage you to continue praying every day for the people around you. Then the L stands for? It's kind of obvious. You've got it on the board. Listening with care. We talked about that, just listening. I had an opportunity to listen to someone helping my neighbor this week. Had a conversation there. Didn't have as much opportunity as I had hoped for. Did you have an opportunity to just listen to someone inside of your circle of influence? Do you have any opportunities just to listen, maybe ask some questions, show that you care that way? Seen a lot of heads nodding. That's good. That's good. And then last week we talked about eating together as a way. Jesus did that all the time. He went to Levi's house and ate with him. He went to Matthew's house and ate with him. He was constantly being told, "You're eating with sinners." Jesus is like, "Yep, that's what we do." I ate with Darius last week. Darius is a sinner, I know that. You're a believer too, though, so I don't know if it counts for me, but it was fun. So keep finding ways, just opportunities, especially as it's nicer outside, you know, to just enjoy some food together with your neighbors. And today we want to talk about serving. Serving with love. Serving our neighbors, you know, as we talk about ways to serve our neighbors, it could easily feel like serving a neighbor would be nice. It would be really kind. Like, it's a nice add-on, you know, like like putting frosting on top of the cake. It's a nice add-on. It's a wonderful thing to do, but maybe not very essential. Maybe it's not that critically important. But I want to make a point that I actually believe serving is critically connected to the gospel. Serving is critically connected to the gospel. You know what the gospel is. We've talked about this often. It's that Jesus came and he died On the cross, he paid a price to purchase us for himself, to rescue and redeem us. And when we trust in him by faith and we give him our sin and we ask for cleansing and restoration into his family, we receive that. That's the gospel message. But listen to a couple of other verses that attach serving to it in an essential way. First one is Mark 10, verse 45. He said, "The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." So clearly we know Jesus came to give his life as a ransom for many, but he didn't just come to do that. He also came to serve. They're connected together. He came to do both. Think about it for a minute. Jesus could have just handed us the Word of God. He could have said, "Here's the collection of my teaching." He kind of did that with Moses. "Here's these tablets." Boom. And now sit down and write down the rest of what I tell you. Moses just wrote it down. He just like transmitted the message. We see other times that happens. I'm reading through Revelation right now at home, and a couple of times where there's a couple of different scrolls that God wrote, and he's just like handing them out, you know, to people. And so there's like sometimes God just gives us his word. "Thus says the Lord." But Jesus didn't do that. He came and lived among us. He could have just somehow, you know, paid. Could he maybe have just rescued us without leaving heaven? Could he have done? He chose to come and to live among us and to serve among us and to practice humility. It kind of blows my mind that Jesus would come and choose to live in humility among us. Humility is an essential ingredient in serving. I can't really serve you from up here. I can tell you things. But humility is when I'm with you, when we're with someone, when Jesus is Emmanuel with us, serving us in that way. Humility is essential for us to become followers of Jesus, for me to be saved. I have to have humility, right? James 4:10 says, "God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble." That's how we receive the grace of God, when we approach him in humility. So for our neighbors or our relatives to give their life to Jesus, they come before him in humility, and Jesus modeled it. We have to have humility. It's an essential part of it, which is why serving is so important. I could try to coerce someone into the kingdom of God. I can argue them into the kingdom of God. You see plenty of that happening. If I just say my point louder and more convincingly, then surely you'll submit, bend the knee to Jesus. It's kind of dumb, because I don't see people giving their lives to Jesus because someone out-argued them and made them look bad. People give their lives to Jesus because they can taste and see that the Lord is good, often through humility and service that comes with the words of the gospel. I want us to look at how Jesus did that in Philippians chapter 2. It's a really, really cool chapter. It would be one that would be good to study and memorize on your own. But it starts off by saying, it ties in what Jesus did and how that's an example for us to live. And so it says in verse 3, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others." The humility to say, what's important to you? What's in this for you? What's a benefit for you? What are you hoping for? I'm going to serve that, not just all the things that I want. And he gives this example of Jesus. He says, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset of Jesus Christ, who, being in very nature God, did not consider his equality with God something to be grasped or something to use for his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing, taking the nature of a servant and being made in human likeness. He being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. So we get there, we get to the death on the cross, we get to the provision for our salvation, but what was the pathway to get there? What was the pathway that he took before he could get to dying on the cross to provide salvation for us? Serving and humility. That Jesus, although he was fully God, he could have stayed in heaven and just passed out edicts or sent angels with messengers for us. He's done that before. But he became a person. He came as a baby. Talk about humility. As a vulnerable baby. There's some babies in this room. They don't have much power. Well, they could, actually. They could disrupt this room in a hurry. But they're dependent on other. Can you imagine Jesus being completely dependent on people that he made? Sinful people. For his life and well-being. That's what he did. As a little kid who could get bullied and pushed around. He came in humility. And being a man, just like us, wasn't enough. He also humbled himself then to become, as it says somewhere else, servant of all. We not only see Jesus dying on the cross, providing salvation for us, but if you ask the kids, which we've actually done here in the last couple weeks, what else did Jesus do? And they say, he fed 5,000 people. He helped a blind man see. He helped someone who couldn't walk. He helped them walk. We have this whole legacy of a life of Jesus serving, hands-on, in the dust, serving people in some powerful ways. And Paul's saying in Philippians 2, that's our example. That we not only come and tell people the gospel, the good news about Jesus, but that we're also having that mindset to put other people's interests first and serve them. Serving their interests. It's pretty awesome. And it was the way Jesus brought the gospel into the world. And I think it's also the way we bring the gospel to our neighbors and coworkers, our relatives. We bring it to them as servants. We bring it to them in humility. We bring it to them in love, putting their interests first, makes it receivable for them. So could you present the gospel to someone without serving them? You could. Would it be effective? Good hesitation. Sure, it can be effective because the power is in the gospel itself, right? The power is in the work that Jesus did, not the work that I do when I bring it to someone. Jesus is sufficient. The gospel is powerful, and he can save whoever he wants to. And anyone can turn to Christ for salvation. I can even present the gospel really badly. I can even present the gospel arrogantly and foolishly, and God uses human foolishness to bring people to salvation. However, on a practical level, if I want the people on that board to be saved, and I bring the gospel to them in humility, serving them too, then I'm inviting them to open their hearts. Not just to me, but to the God that I serve. And it's probably going to be a whole lot more effective when I act like Jesus, the way we're instructed to. So serving becomes like this beautiful vehicle to help build trust and open doors. Let me tell you one more story that Jesus told, actually, in answering a question about how do we bless our neighbors, how do we love our neighbors. Listen to this in Mark chapter 10. On one occasion, an expert in the law, he stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What is written in the law? Jesus replied, how do you read it? And he answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. You've answered correctly, Jesus said. Do this and you will live. It's pretty simple. But this guy wanted to justify himself. So he asked Jesus, who's my neighbor? Right? I can fake it on the loving God stuff, but I don't know what I'm obligating myself to in terms of loving other people, loving my neighbor. Who is my neighbor? And so in reply, Jesus said, he tells a story. Isn't that cool? Jesus says, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. And he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes. They beat him. They went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road. When he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place, he saw him and passed to the other side. Interesting selection of who's coming by on this road, because a priest and a Levite are the people you would expect to stop and help this poor guy. They're the people you would expect to have some kind of religious motivation to actually care about the people who are hurting around them. But what did they do? They did two things. They saw, there's two verbs in here, they saw and they passed by. They saw and they passed, right? Have you ever done that? You saw a need and you went, pass. I do it all the time. You have to be, right? You have to be selective. You can't help everybody. And I think through all this kind of stuff, right? So I see and then I pass. And I'm not evaluating how we do it. It's just a reality. That's often where we stop. But Jesus continued the story. He said, but a Samaritan. Samaritan is someone you would not expect. Jews hated Samaritans. What's this guy going to do? A Samaritan, as he traveled, came to where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him. He bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey. He brought him to an inn, and he took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 denarii, some form of money, and he gave it to the innkeeper and said, look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for the extra expense you may have. And Jesus asked, which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell to the hands of robbers? The expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. Jesus said, go and do likewise. It's just if we're going to bless our neighbor, then thinking about how do we react when people have a need? And I'm not saying you should stop at every single person that we pass. But God will call you to some. I think the names on that board reflect some of who God has laid on your heart. Do we see their needs and put them first? I was looking at the verbs in this passage. The people who passed by, there are 2 verbs that describe the priest and the Levite. They saw and they passed. But there's 15 verbs that tell in the story of what the Samaritan did. 15 of them. 3 of them are just circumstantial ones. He traveled, he came that way, he saw, right? Same as everybody else. But then it gives 1 key verb that changed it, and it's something that happened in here. He took pity. This is where it started, right here. It didn't start with what he saw. They all saw the same thing. It didn't start with what he did. That was an outgrowth of what happened in here. He took pity. The mercy started here toward the person. And then it gives us 8 verbs of how he loved this guy. 8 different ones. Like he put him on his donkey. He bandaged his wounds. He poured out his stuff. He gave some money. He took him to this inn. All these things. He's like following through, right? Serving is not simple. It's not, you know, I love how we say it. So we have a spot. If you could sign up on Tuesday at 1 o'clock and serve for an hour, that would be great. That's what we like. That's what we like, because then it's predictable, it's schedulable, it's manageable. When you look at this guy, he's like, I'm just going to put that guy's needs first above my own. And he did like 8 things to help him. And then there was a verb that was a speaking verb. He said to the innkeeper, right, he spoke up on behalf of this person. He didn't just help him, but he advocated for him. And then there's some future tense verbs. I'm going to come back and I'm going to pay back whatever other expenses are owed. Man, this guy is a master class in how to serve our neighbors, how to bless our neighbors. So I would ask us to consider, how do we see our neighbors? Everybody sees our neighbor. What happens in your heart when you see your neighbor? Your coworker. Maybe their needs are different. Maybe they're not on the side of the road beat up. Maybe they're just jerks. And you think, what is wounded in their heart that would cause them to be that way toward people? What happens in your heart when you interact with your boss? Jesus gave us the gospel to permeate us right in here, so that we remember how God treats me. I remember how God treats me when I'm a jerk to God, which is pretty consistently. I have to pray about that before I preach every Sunday. Lord, I've been a pain in your side. I've sinned against you. I have been weak and foolish and selfish. And how does God treat me? How does God respond to me? How does he continue to serve my interests? That's the gospel in me impacting and understanding my relationship with God. That same gospel in you and I, in our hearts, filters how we see our neighbor. So when I see their need, I don't just respond, well, they just deserve that. That's what they're getting, what they deserve. Look at the foolish action that led up to that pain, of course. Right? I'm really tempted to do that, and that's true sometimes. But how does the gospel influence the way I see people and the way I think about them and the way I interact with them? Matthew 9 gives us a simple verse in verse 36. When Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion on them. They were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. And the gospel causes me to see people with the same compassion that God has had on me. And then moves me from there to serve them. So serving other people, tying it up practically, there are tons of ways that we can serve people individually. There are tons of ways we can serve together as a church. I've been here for over a year, but I was in Becker pastoring for almost 10 years. So I was thinking about this, and I thought, I have a lot of stories about serving as a church from our time in Becker. That was one of the things we were really committed to, just serving really well. We did all kinds of things as a church. We cleaned up our city park. We cleaned up some playground equipment for the school system. We would help rake leaves pretty consistently for people. We built a wheelchair ramp. We built a shed for an older couple near us. Did a lot of yard work. We have a bilingual sister church in Monticello, Hope Free Church, right there, and their English-Spanish speaking church. So we, as a church in Becker, did a church cleanup day for them. So we all went to their church and just cleaned up inside and outside that building. It was a lot of fun. I think it was a blessing for them. We've been to Mexico to build houses and fix up an orphanage, and been to Haiti to help with a school there. We've just done a lot of different things. a few Sundays, we showed up for church Sunday morning to serve. So we show up, gather together, make sure you're assigned to a service project, pray, and go out in your work clothes, and just worshiped with our hands that day. So there's all kinds of different ways churches can serve, and we didn't own a building. We didn't own a church building. We met in the public school. But there's all kinds of ways churches can serve together, and I know here in Antioch, we have different ways of serving together. So I thought instead of me telling you, I'd get a couple of, recruit a couple people to share some testimonies. Becca Schreiner is going to come up here. And also Craig, if you want to come on up here and just hear a little bit from your voices about serving here in our own community. Nice job. So tell us a little bit about what serving looks like for you.
So hi, I'm Becca. I actually have been helping with the grocery ministry for like 4 years now. Like, crazy how time flies. But I've actually helped from kind of all the different processes in that, from picking up food to like setting it up in multiple different places throughout the years, and then to distributing it. And one of the coolest parts is when we distribute it, just getting to really see and meet the people who are picking it up. And it's an awesome experience just to like literally be the hands and feet of Jesus, like serving people who have food insecurities, and then also hoping for opportunities to also share what hope we have in Jesus. And I have really enjoyed doing that. And one interesting aspect is a lot of times you think about serving as I'm going to go and literally hand out food, but I like science, math, and organization. And so one aspect of some of the gifts God's given me is I've been able to take, we used to have people sign up on a spreadsheet, and I was able to take that and all the data that we would manually keep and transition it to like a Google form with an automatic spreadsheet that does all the data analysis, and which is awesome because that might be a gift that I have, and that gives Darius more time to do other things and he's really good with people, so he can go and like have more time, face time with the people too. So yeah, just the opportunity has really been a cool one for me, and I've learned maybe even gotten more out of it than some of the people coming too. Yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome, and I have heard that your gifts of organizing have been unique and has had a great, wonderful impact, so thank you for that. Appreciate that. Hey, Craig. Tell us a little bit about serving and a different perspective on.
Okay, dokie. Being raised in Buffalo, Minnesota, at the Presbyterian Church, my folks, I've done the cemeteries, I've done all the raking, all this stuff like you folks have. And we were raised that way, or help people on the farms when they needed to help. Nobody was standing there with their hand out asking for money. You just do. You volunteer, and that's what it's all about. It's about giving back. But like the young lady that just left the stage, she didn't say that when my wife and I were in a car accident and I got home and had no van, either brought groceries to my house or they came and got me so I could volunteer here at the food shelf. She didn't say that. There's a lot of things this church does. They just built a new steps on the back of my porch of my house because we needed new steps, etc. They've been over and raked the yard. All you have to do is ask. Another situation is my wife and I had a flood in the basement. The church paid the water, part of the water bill, etc., so we could get it down so we could afford to take care of it. You folks are outstanding. I've never seen so many babies in my life. And they keep coming and keep coming and keep coming. Good for you folks. Anyway, young folks, follow your parents' examples, etc. Follow your pastor's examples and do for others. Also, you know, when you see someone coming to the door, especially someone my age, I'm 76, man or woman, open the door for them. It doesn't cost anything. Mm-hmm. And they will say thank you. Most 9 times out of 10, they'll say thank you. But if they don't, it doesn't make any difference. You're not doing it for a thank you. You're doing it because it's the right thing to do and helping others. So that's it.
Yeah, good. Thank you so much. Appreciate you coming up here today.
That's all right. The other reason I'm here is this. I've been with Ann Riverside Presbyterian Church since 1978 when my wife and I were married. But I'm from the Presbyterian Church in Buffalo, born and raised there. We're closing our door as far as the church part of it. The Presbytery is taking over our space. We had a Gothic building on 4th and 8th. 20 years ago, we lost the building. We bulldozed, turned it into a park. 10 years ago, we bulldozed, we put up a high-rise. We got 50 apartments plus 3 townhouses. But the 5,000 square feet we have on the main floor is for life. And so we're still there as far as the building-wise. We're going to keep going. I'm not sure how they're going to use the space. Faith Pentecostal's been there, but we had Gospel Life. We've had many others. Church service before COVA. We had, back in the 30s, we were the community center because we had bowling alley in the basement, handset bowling alley, basketball court on the main floor, lots. So like you folks, we're used to giving. That's what it's all about, feeding the hungry. 600 or 700 meals a day, not unusual. But hopefully you guys can eventually do something like that, whether it's in this space or in your new space. And if I'm God willing, I'm around, I'll still be here and help out.
Yeah, awesome. Thanks, Craig. Yeah, serving is about putting the needs of other people above your own, which means it's not always like the perfect fit for you. I had a neighbor, he's moved, but was really working on him a few years ago, and I don't know anything about hockey. I never watched hockey growing up, don't care anything about hockey, honestly. But my neighbor was a big hockey knucklehead, big time. I mean, this guy was so into it. And one day he's telling me, I just think we should start a community hockey club for all the neighborhood kids, teach them how to play hockey. I'm like, dude, I mean, you watch hockey in your garage. There's a big jump between having like a hockey program for hundreds of kids in the community. Well, that's what I want to do. Will you help me? Sure. Let's go. A few months later, here's me and John in the field house with hundreds of kids with little hockey sticks and balls chasing around, teaching them a thing how to do hockey. It's like, just do, you know, you look for the opportunity and say, I don't know how God will use this, but let's jump in and see what God would do. Because it's really about God working on people's hearts. It's really about people coming to know Jesus and opening ourselves up to him. So this week, your mission is to keep praying for the people who are around you, that God has put around you, that they would come to know Jesus, and pray for opportunities to serve them. Look for ways to jump in. It could be a really small thing. It could be something that might feel a little overwhelming. But just jump into it and see what happens. And see what God will do when we have the mind of Jesus and the attitude of Jesus and the way that we serve the people around us. I'm going to pray and the worship team will come up to bring our closing song. Father, thank you for Jesus, for coming and living among us, pitching your tent with us, doing life with us, and showing us how to live as a servant that carries words of hope, that carries words of life. Thank you so much for allowing us to be the recipients of your love and your gospel. But Lord, help us not just to be the recipient, but to flow, for it to flow through us, for the gospel in us to change how we see people, how we interact with people, how we serve people. And Lord, we just pray that you would show us the fruit of some salvations here really soon from the people that we love, from our family members and our coworkers and our neighbors. We're just begging you, Lord, to use us to expand your kingdom and your family. In Jesus' name, amen.